The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John, engineering and producing the show. On the other side of the glass, we welcome you to The Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, September the 19th, 2022. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station, 1030 KVOI, like K-Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line when we do our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Had a nice visit with Moe and his lovely daughter Corinne over at the shop on Saturday. This family-owned and run business has been around since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. That means Moe comes out to your home and make sure the stuff goes up on the wall the way you want it. We're also doing at Moe's e-commerce. Their newly redesigned website includes the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique prints and maps, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and Moe'sGallery.com. It's time for our face-off commentators. John Munger, seated to my right, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, one-time Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. Aaron Rottenstein is with us. Aaron, former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing really well, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing well. Did you get a chance to see any of the pomp and circumstance?
I did not this morning. Ooh, no,
missed it.
I have. I'm sure I'm going to catch up on it later.
But. Oh, yeah. But you're probably one of, I think it was John Munger. Good to see you, John.
Good to see you, Bill.
The biggest television audience in history watching today. And I know you saw a little bit of it. It was quite moving, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great. I don't know how I feel about the royal family and all that, but they do know how to throw an event.
They do.
And I enjoyed watching the soldiers. They look like good troops. It was good.
A lot of walking involved, for
sure.
They
walked over 3 miles
today. A lot of achy muscles after this. Aaron and John, want to talk a little bit about the future of debates. A letter to the editor, Lou Terry in Green Valley, I thought it was a pretty good letter. He says the so-called political debates, Aaron, of the 21st century are so far removed from the traditional political debates to be at best worthless and at their worst a potential threat to our democracy. What do you think, Aaron? Someone, I've hosted a bunch of them in my 35 years here in town, and the whole feel of the debate has changed so dramatically.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to hear a little bit more about that, but I tend to agree with the writer. You know, one of the most salient moments I've had as a parent is in the last presidential election, I sat my kids down to watch the first presidential debate, and it was going to be their first real opportunity. They were 3 and 5 at the time to get exposure to the American political system and the disgusting, deplorable way that Donald Trump acted in that, you know, event. I've tried to keep my politics, you know, free from my kids to let them, you know, come to their own conclusions. But having 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds asking, why is that man behaving the way he is, with his interrupting, his accusations, his, you know, really belligerent behavior, it sold me on the idea that debates are dead. They've, you know, in best case scenarios, turned into press conferences where individual candidates are, you know, simply spouting their talking points and landing their poll-tested attack lines. In a worst case, in a year like Arizona, where you've got candidates like Carrie Lake, who's a really dangerous contribution to our public discourse, anti-Semites like Mark Fincham, giving them the platform to speak their, you know, talking points is, you know, potentially even dangerous.
John, what do you think?
Well, I think if we don't have debates, what do we have? You know, the problem I've had with debates is that in the past 10, 20 years, the debates have all run by liberal, mostly been run by liberal commentators who load the debate and even argue against candidates. I remember the debate in that Mitt Romney had with Barack Obama, and the so-called moderator started arguing with Mitt Romney. But I think you know, if we see candidates as they are, you know, if Aaron didn't like the way Donald Trump behaved, fine, but he ought to be able to see it. I think more is better than less. And I think that we ought to continue to have debates. People can watch it if they want to watch it. They don't have to if they don't want to. But I learn a lot in debates. I learned a lot when all the Democrat candidates said they wanted, you know, raised their hand, said they wanted open borders. And all the Democrats raised their hands for all these radical causes that they supported. That meant something to me. It's just that the debates need to be run on a neutral basis. And I think that if candidates, in the case of the John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, if he's too sick to debate, I think the public should know that. I mean, if he's too sick to debate with his Republican opponent, then what does that say about his ability to debate in Senate? Debate is Americana. How can we be against debate?
I mean, you could put a single candidate, Aaron, answering questions posed by a panel representing the major parties.
You know, I think being accountable to the public is something important, but it's, you know, interesting to say, you know, we want debates, we just don't want the people asking questions is what I heard from, you know, that last comment there.
No, that's not my comment at all.
The other thing that I think is really interesting is, you know, looking at the scenario we're in here in Arizona, where, you know, typically it's the folks that are behind that want the debates most. And, you know, contrary to, I think, what people have looked at in this election, it's the Republican today who's saying we need debates here, we need debates in Pennsylvania, we need debates everywhere. It's a very, very different electoral map than I think some people were getting used to this cycle. And I think it bodes really well for Democrats that Republicans are on their heels looking for that, you know, last little soundbite that might get them over the top.
You know, you mentioned the Carrie Lake and the Hobbs situation. Hobbs saying she just doesn't want a debate. Could there have been a case, Aaron, for Hobbs going out there with Lake and then, I don't know, just kind of trying to counter what she says?
Well, we've seen what happens when you put Carrie Lake in a debate. The entire nation has seen what happens when you put Carrie Lake in a debate, because it was a national embarrassment for the state of Arizona, that Republican gubernatorial debate that went viral. She's unable to hold a conversation about anything other than her election conspiracies, and continue to give her a platform to lie to the people of Arizona is simply not in the best interest of a gubernatorial election nor civil discourse.
Well, the problem is that if Aaron thinks that that's an issue, then let's see it. I mean, I sit here and look and say, why won't the Democratic candidate, Ms. Hobbs, debate the Republican? What's that all about? What are you afraid of? And I look at it and say, stand up like a big girl and debate. And let the public, it's like newspapers. We don't want fewer newspapers. We want more newspapers. We want more opinions. We want more exposure, not less. And I ask, why is John Fetterman, the Democratic candidate for Senate in Pennsylvania, afraid to debate? Why is Katie Hobbs afraid to debate? Are they afraid that somebody might raise an issue that might be a good issue? And if you don't like what Carrie Lake says, fine, but some people do. And the Democrats have a tendency to discount all 74 million people that voted for Donald Trump in the last election. And as I've told you, Bill, I will not be supporting Donald Trump in the primary if he runs. He's not up for election this year. And if if the Democrats can't hold their own in a debate, what are they there for? Do they not want their views to be heard?
Aaron, final word before we take a break.
I think Democrats are making their word heard through their actions. You know, we've seen through Congress this year one of the most impactful legislative sessions in decades in terms of the CHIPS Act, Build Back Better, Inflation Reduction Act, and the bipartisan infrastructure bill. People are seeing things getting made. People are seeing things getting built. People are seeing Democrats stand up for fundamental rights like abortion. We don't need a moderator from a newspaper to give us the opportunity to show the public that what, you know, Republicans need right now is that Hail Mary, that there might be a mistake in a debate, to get back on equal footing with Democrats that are, you know, across the country running better because they're higher quality candidates.
I think the Democrats are behind in the polls, and they should be wanting a debate. I think they're afraid to debate because the polls are against them.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, talk about Mo, well certainly about Mo, and Mo'sGallery.com for great framing. But we also want to talk about our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mo takes Mo. Why do I keep saying Mo? I'm talking about Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery. And they are closed on Monday. Their hours Tuesday through Saturday, 6:30 for breakfast till 3 in the afternoon, 7 to 2 on Sunday. The website, monasdanishbakery.com. More with our Monday political face-off, Aaron Rottenstein and John Munger, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at mosgallery.com.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things, and why shouldn't we? 3384 East River Road, a 13-acre site full of beautiful green things and things for your garden. Zocalo Village, their sister business on site, has some incredible Talavera pottery. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village the next time you go over to Green Things for your things for the garden. You will be very happy when you see some of that merchandise, beautifully handcrafted dining room sets there at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Our Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at MoesGallery.com. Aaron Rottenstein is seated to my left and John Munger to my right. Aaron, some of the polling, this new New York Times Seneca College polling, shows that Democrats seem to be making some progress.
Yeah, we saw a real split when the Dobbs decision came down and abortion became the dominant issue for many voters in this election. You know, candidate quality also matters. You know, just look at Arizona when you compare somebody like Mark Kelly to Blake Masters, who's, you know, even Mitch McConnell said a pretty weak candidate. When you compare, you know, somebody that's won statewide like Katie Hobbs, first Democrat to do so in one of the top tier offices in, you know, over a decade, against Carrie Lake, who's, you know, very clearly not ready for prime time, and all the way down the ticket. We've got some real opportunity here in Arizona. We've got some real opportunity across the country where you're seeing Republicans having a tough time putting away races where they really should have an advantage. You know, Tim Ryan in Ohio against J.D. Vance, I think they committed another $25 million to TV, Republicans did, there in Ohio. This is a state that went for Donald Trump by, I believe, 9 points. I might be wrong on that, and if I'm wrong, I think I'm being conservative on it. This is a very different election than it looked like it was going to be 6 months ago. And, you know, I think the most important thing for Democrats is they've been able to take advantage of every break that they've gotten, every bad candidate that Republicans have nominated, every Trumpist, every election denier. Democrats have held their feet to the fire and made sure that they understand their radical, out of whack abortion views are just as extreme as their views on, you know, the last election and other conspiracies.
What do you think, John?
Well, I think that the Republican landslide that we were talking about last spring is not going to happen.
No.
But I do think that the Democrats are in trouble. For example, Aaron talked about J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is up in Ohio by 4 to 6 points, according to the polls. He's beating Tim Ryan. So that's good. With all the negative ads that Mark Kelly has run against Blake Masters, and I mean, just running these negative ads. Blake Masters hasn't begun to come out yet, and with his ad campaigns, at least I haven't seen any. And Blake Masters is behind by only 2 points in Arizona. Katie Hobbs and Carrie Lake are head to head.
Yeah, it's very close.
Very close race. So the problem with the Democrats is they think that anybody that doesn't agree with them is radical. They think they're extremists. Well, 75 million people in this country, 74 million people in this country are not radical, who voted for Trump and voted for Republicans are not radicals. There's 74 million of them. And that's not, you know, it's hard to say that they're all a bunch of radicals. I'm not a radical. But I think that historically, an even race is where the generic polls, Bill, of likely voters show Democrats up by 4 in a generic poll. That's an even race. Right now, the polls go back and forth. The Republicans generally are up by a couple of points in the generic polls. But that's a huge difference than being down by 4 points. And that's something that statistically people don't realize, is that when Republicans are even in the generic polls or even ahead as we are now, that bodes very ill for the Democrats. I predict that the Republicans will pick up House seats somewhere between 10 and 20 seats, and that will give them control of the House. The Senate, nobody can predict. There are just too many gotchas out there both ways, but it's going to be close. But I think it's I think people see the nation's in chaos. I mean, we're just in chaos here. We've got crime in the streets in the Democratic run cities. In one city today, that every day there are 8 shootings. I think it's in Washington, D.C. 8 shootings every day. And the crime and the people coming across the border that we don't even know who they are.
Aaron, do you believe that the country is in chaos, like John is saying?
I believe that they're going to do anything that they can to change the subject from abortion between now and Election Day, which we've seen is something that people are ready to vote on. There are some real problems in this country. You know, we need to make sure that inflation comes down. We need to make sure that the strong economy that we've had for the last, you know, couple of years continues. We need to make sure that our streets and, you know, our communities are safe. But we need to make sure women have rights, too. And they have fewer rights. This is the first time in my lifetime, the first time, Bill, in your lifetime, that an American citizen has fewer rights than they did 6 months prior. And it's a real catastrophic impact that this is having on the electoral cycle. You know, everything is up for grabs in these next few weeks. This is going to be a very important election, as frankly every election is going to be, when we've got one side that, you know, is denying the sanctity of the vote and, you know, the winner of elections. It's been, you know, wonderful to hear my colleague here talk about the 72 million votes that Donald Trump got, because we
74 million,
because we all know that that's a smaller number than 82 million. And we all know that the Electoral College went for, you know, Joe Biden. That's a very controversial view. And frankly, if he was running for office today espousing that, he wouldn't have a shot at winning the nomination. Not for dog catcher, not for governor, not for anything.
Actually, the polls show that Donald Trump would beat Joe Biden today if he were to run. Mm. Period. Let me add another comment. Hillary Clinton claimed that the election was stolen from her. And she didn't acknowledge that Donald Trump was a legitimate president.
Yeah, we've moved on from that, and we haven't spent 6 years trying to relitigate it. And so you're making my point, which is that, you know, sometimes politicians say really stupid things.
Please let me
The difference is sometimes political movements decide that whatever stupid thing comes out of a politician's mouth has to be our identity from now forward. And that's the Republican Party that we're dealing with today. Hillary Clinton said a lot of things I disagree with, a lot of things that other Democrats disagree with. We haven't changed our entire fundamental view of democracy in order to contort ourselves to her, you know, rantings.
And okay, neither have I, but let me finish
your comment.
Stacey Abrams in Georgia, the Democratic candidate, still claims that she's the legitimate governor of Georgia. To this day, claims that. Aaron talks about.
I'll give you as much time as you need. We still got a couple of minutes. Pull it up on your phone. Find that quote. I'm happy to have a nice conversation with Bill about the weather or, you know, my weekend trip to Green Things or anything else. You've got 2.5 minutes. Find me that quote on Stacey Abrams.
I can't find you.
Of course
quote.
You can't.
I'm not in 2.5 minutes. I can't go to Google and look it up. But she said that she claims she's the governor, legitimate
Bill,
governor.
Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard that either.
Bill doesn't know one way or the other.
I don't.
You know, the Democrats talk about this abortion issue. That issue, they did a poll that came out over the weekend. That is way down in the issues of importance to the public. 13% are concerned about abortion as their first issue. 34% are concerned about the economy. and inflation. The country is in chaos. We've got in chaos. We've got inflation that we didn't have before. We've got people crossing the border, 2 million a year, in excess of 2 million a year. We don't even know who they are. We don't know what diseases they have. They're completely unvetted. We've got crime in the streets. Every day you talk about how many people are shot in Chicago and Philadelphia, 8 shootings a day. 8 shootings every day
in
Philadelphia.
Just about out of time.
We didn't have those problems previous to Joe Biden and the Democrats.
All right, Aaron, final comment.
Yeah, it's, when things start going bad in the election, you start throwing spaghetti at the wall. And, I think that's what we're hearing right now is, spaghetti being thrown against the wall.
Okay. We didn't create it.
Hold on. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay. All right. John, Aaron, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Thank you very much. That will wrap it up for our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Dine-in or take-out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our monthly Better Business Bureau Scam Alert. With me in studio, Irene Coppola, the relatively new CEO and president of the BBB. Irene, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How about you?
Good to see you. I'm doing well. Thank you. You know, the scammers wasted no time, Irene, in capitalizing on the Biden administration's plan to cancel some federal student loan debt. And the BBB scam tracker is already registering consumers who have been targeted by imposter loan forgiveness calls and emails.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's already started.
Already started. Seems like it just happens. They evolve just as quickly as businesses should, right?
Right. With the news cycle, then they're ready to go.
Absolutely.
Tell us a bit more about this latest scam.
Yeah, absolutely. So student loan forgiveness. We've been seeing a lot of activity in our scam tracker where individuals are getting phone calls, they're getting messages, text messages, and they're trying to, you know, they're throwing that hook out there to see if they can get a response. So the reason I say messages is because, you know, many times we won't answer the call because it's a restricted number or because we don't recognize it. So what do? They leave a message. And many times a person will say, you know what, if it's important, they'll leave a message and I'll respond.
Yeah.
Well, they've caught on to that. So, the person calls that particular number left on that message. Well, that's problem number one, because that message is directly to the scammer. So, definitely do not return those phone calls.
I've wondered about that because sometimes they'll come in on my cell phone. I don't recognize the number and I'm thinking, do I hit reply? And it doesn't take much with your cell phone to just hit, you know, reply. Suddenly they're dialing it up and you do not want to have a scammer on the other end.
Exactly. You don't want to interact. You know, it seems like there's this colony of scammers. And as soon as they know that you respond, they forward your number and your contact info to their colony. And all of a sudden you're more inundated.
So they're quick to pick up the fact that the thing about the voicemail.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So to see if you qualify for this forgiveness for the loan, what are the scammers, what's their line? What are they insisting on?
You know, they're insisting on getting your information and being urgent about it, having an urgency and saying, hey, you know what, let's see if you qualify. I need your name. I need your personal information. And if you're hesitant in giving that, you know, they may pressure you. You know what? You need to follow through with this. Otherwise, you'll be in default. You know, they'll try to do that scare tactic. And, you know, it's so important to just take a deep breath, take a step back.
Would they go as far as trying to get bank information?
Oh, absolutely.
That would be the big problem.
Exactly. The huge red flag. You know, there's no need to pay for services that should be free.
So when in doubt, what would you suggest that a consumer does, Irene?
Well, first of all, right now, before any phone calls, look at your contract. Look at your loan agreement. Understand what that entails. Understand who the lender is. So that many times what you can do is actually log on to that account and they'll have alerts on their websites. Aside from that, look on our scam tracker. You know, be aware of what the scams are within your area. It goes down to the direct zip code. And again, if you don't recognize the caller, you have any red flags, take a step back, hang up. Hanging up can do wonders, right?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, just slam the phone down on a scammer. Maybe they'll get the hint, right? You know, contacting the federal agency, and I would assume that the federal government is probably not going to be calling loan recipients directly.
Exactly.
And the scammer is going to try to act like, well, they're the representative for the federal government. It's not true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really, that's really popular.
So should you, like, notify the federal government if you get a weird message?
You know what? Notify the federal government. Notify the scam tracker. For the federal government to contact you via email, we've given them that permission. We've given them that email address. We've given them our cell phone number. And sometimes we have, right, through the IRS when we're doing our taxes. But many times we haven't, so that should definitely be a red flag.
And what about paying fees that for a government service that is free.
Exactly. Exactly. Huge red flag. It's just like the lottery scam, right? In order to get your winnings, you have to pay $1,000. You know, and that's just not how it works. So definitely keep that top of mind. If there's anybody asking for money, that's definitely a huge red flag.
You know, and so much of it is based on scare tactics. You know, they're someone claiming that you'll miss out if you don't act immediately. That's a red flag.
Absolutely. You know, the pressure to react. So, again, logging into your account online, you may see alerts just from the lender themselves. And again, the power of disconnecting the communication is huge.
So if consumers come across a scam like this, Irene Coppola, what can they do? You mentioned the scam tracker. Let's take a little deeper dive. How does that work?
Absolutely. BBB.org/scam tracker. You log in and you just type in a keyword. So in this case, student loan forgiveness or loan forgiveness. And it will have a map of the United States, and it will have sensors along all the different areas where that particular scam is happening. So, and it can actually go down to your zip code. So you can see how many scams are happening in Tucson, Arizona, or the surrounding communities.
And then notify folks. This actually helps out your neighbors.
Absolutely.
If it goes right down to your zip code, you can see what kind of the latest scam is.
Absolutely.
That's going around in your neighborhood. Let's talk a little bit about what else has been going on with the BBB.
Yes, actually, our monthly mixer is coming up this Thursday. And it's going to be held downtown at High Wire. It's from 5 to 7. We're very excited about this venue and very excited about their support. So, yeah, come on down.
How about the mixers? How important are they to what you do?
You know, it's a great opportunity to have our businesses come out. Because you know what? Our businesses are also consumers. So, you know, our businesses can go out. Bring your business cards because someone's looking for a roofer. Someone's looking for a body shop. And so it's important to get to know who your local businesses are.
I think it's important to reinforce what the BBB does. People have heard about the BBB. They've seen the BBB seal. Businesses cannot use that seal of approval without the BBB permission, correct?
Correct, yeah. Correct. Absolutely. They go through a vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
And that seal means a lot. You know, that seal is what is creating that marketplace trust. So it's that peace of mind that we're promoting. So, yeah, absolutely.
Irene, I want to talk a little bit about your 2023 Torch Award nominations. What are the Torch Awards and how do they get involved?
Yep. Our Torch Awards, can you believe it's already coming along another year? So we love to celebrate ethical businesses. You know, we're celebrating and recognizing those businesses that have been nominated for their ethical practices. So it's businesses and nonprofits. So currently we are taking nominations for those, and we're looking to have our event in the spring of 2023.
And what is the venue in the spring?
Casino del Sol.
Okay.
And we're looking right around May 19th. So as soon as we get that squared away, we'll make the official announcement.
All right, Irene Coppola, how is it going now? You're transitioned into president and CEO. You've been with the organization, so you know the people working for you. You got a great staff.
My gosh, our staff is absolutely stellar. They're just a wonderful group of people. And you know what? We've been coming along great. We've been making lots of connections. And, you know, can you believe it's fourth quarter?
I can't. I cannot believe where this year has gone, yep. Irene. It's been crazy. Irene Coppola. And again, for more information, the best place is bbb.org. Is that correct?
Absolutely. bbb.org.
Irene, thanks. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
All right. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. We love Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. This portion of our program presented by our friends over there. It's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. And lots to do. A lot of outdoor activities like visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. And just kind of hanging out in Silver City, some beautiful Victorian architecture over there. Check it out, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, a great starting place to find out about ideas on things to do and some great places to stay as well. Let's welcome now for his monthly visit, Dr. Mark Sykes, the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute. For 50 years, this Tucson-based nonprofit has been engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark Sykes, Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Oh, great. Bill, good to be here.
You know, I get so many questions. I had one just yesterday from a friend. We were having breakfast about what is the deal with this Artemis 1 launch. It seems to be delay after delay. There were another two failed attempts. It was originally scheduled for August 29th. Now I guess we're talking about September 27th at the earliest. Mark Sykes, what's going on?
Well, they're having a problem with a seal in the container for the liquid hydrogen, you know, the quick release thing. And hydrogen behaves very weird when it gets down to cryogenic temperatures. It likes to crawl around and find ways out of things. And so hopefully this isn't a design issue, which could then result in an even longer delay. So it's a little worrisome that the hydrogen is leaking out at this valve.
What's the fix here?
if the problem was that they just didn't have something that fit quite right, you know, then the fit is not bad. If the problem is they have something that's not quite designed quite right, then the problem is more challenging, because then you have to kind of fix that. It's a bigger problem. So we don't know at this point in time what it is. I was just at NASA headquarters, and there were some people wringing their hands there about it. And so we'll have to see, because it's already a pretty pricey system, and we don't know how many launches we'll be able to afford. But they absolutely need to work.
And it's kind of embarrassing, kinda, isn't it, for NASA?
Well, yeah, it is, and the sad thing is that former deputy administrator Lori Garver had written a book, there's a lot of people named Lori, and so I may get some of these mixed up, but she was saying that I mean, it's really kind of a different version of the Saturn V, and so we should know how to do this pretty good. You know, except that, since we haven't been doing it for a long time, you know, forgetting is an issue.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the incredible observations coming from the Webb telescope. What's the latest on that?
Well, cool is just the word to use, right? The Webb is looking out at high resolution of extremely large distances, and the reason why it can is that it's operating in like the infrared, and when you're looking at space through an optical telescope, you know, the kind of light that we see with our eyes, a lot of that light gets blocked, you know, from space because of all the dust that's out there. But when you look at the near infrared, longer wavelength, then the dust becomes much more transparent, and so we're able to see a lot more structure and distant things in the universe. So like the very first image that they published, it was spectacular because it was all these things that looked like little bent arcs all over the place, because it was capturing all the gravitational lensing of yet more distant objects coming around galactic masses and such, and getting in the light getting bent into these arcuate type shapes. Now they're getting things closer to home, or JWST is. So today was released an image of Mars, which was absolutely fascinating, because it's able to image the entire planet, and it's at these longer wavelengths and at very high resolution. Mars is too bright for JWST to look at, unless it can look at in a narrow band with a very quick shutter time, because otherwise it just blinds it. But they're able to do that. You know, that was part of their design considerations. And so they're able to look, they were looking at carbon dioxide on Mars. And so you could see how you know, it changes in brightness, you know, around the planet. But over Hellas Basin, which is this large impact site, you know, from ancient times, it appears dark. And you know, why is that? Well, it's because it's deeper, so it has more atmosphere in it, you know, which is carbon dioxide, which is what WMT was measuring. And so the light is getting absorbed, which is why it's looking dark. So you know, the capabilities of JWST are pretty huge. And one of the things at Mars that'll be a lot of fun to look for is not just carbon dioxide, but methane. Because remember the stories about spacecraft determining methane? The question is that due to a geological process, or is it due to a biological process that could be going on Mars today? And so this offers us an opportunity to perhaps map out where methane might be coming out from the surface and then determining what its source really is.
So this Webb telescope is really, so far, would you say it's outperforming what had been expected of it?
I think that it's doing what was expected of it, but it's outperforming our imaginations as to what we'll see as a consequence. So we get surprised. You know, it's like when we send a spacecraft anywhere. You know, it's designed to be able to make certain kinds of observations, but when we go someplace new, we're always seeing stuff that we did not expect. And so the JWST is following through with that. It's making these observations, and it's not just confirming things that we know. It's also showing us stuff that, oh, didn't expect to see that. And that is what makes this business so much fun, is now we get new mysteries to try to figure out what's going on.
What do we think the life is of this new telescope?
Well, you know, it could be, you know, a couple of decades. I can't remember with the design, you know, as I think it's designed to operate for maybe a decade or something, but it could last longer than that. It operates in the thermal infrared, but it doesn't require it's not storing cryogen on it to keep things really cold. It's doing that by keeping things in a shadow, you know, from the sun, and so it can keep its detectors and mirrors very cold, and so that also means that, you know, like with the Spitzer spacecraft, the infrared space telescope, you know, once it lost its you know liquid helium, then it just it warmed up, and so it wasn't able to observe things in the thermal infrared. You know, JWST doesn't have that problem because it doesn't have to worry about losing cryogens. It's designed in a way that operates in the cold, and it can stay cold. So it could last a good long time.
So again, getting back to the Artemis launch date, originally August 29th, there's only, I guess, a very short window on the 27th. Then on October 2nd, there about a 2-hour window. So we'll see what happens. But a lot of money's been spent on this thing so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, we'll have to keep our fingers crossed. I mean, NASA has been good at actually launching some pretty sophisticated things like the James Webb. The fact that we launched it, it got deployed and opened up and started working, that was a pretty complex, impressive piece of equipment. And for it to open up and start working without a problem, that was in itself an amazing accomplishment.
All right, you can find out more, and I hope you do, at Planetary Science about the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson. Their website, psi.edu. That is simple enough. Thank you very much, Mark. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. Always good talking with you.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO of the PSI, Planetary Science Institute. That'll do it for the Monday show. Bill Buckmaster with you back in about 23 hours. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.